You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast. What is it about music that connects to something deep within us? And how does someone who writes songs set out to share work that is so personal? That's what Lieutenant Aaron Weichel is sharing on the show today. As a Salvation Army officer or pastor currently serving in Santa Monica, California, her ministry faces the effects of addiction, the reality of homelessness, and so much more. Yet she also gets to lead people in worship. As someone who first sang in a worship group at age 6, Lieutenant Aaron today explores what draws her to music, shares her favorite piece of music, which might surprise you, and walks us through her own creative process to writing a song. Her new song, Wait For You Here, is available wherever you download or stream music, and all proceeds go directly to the Salvation Army. As she will tell you, music can be used to help uplift, encourage, and articulate the human experience. And if any songwriter or musician can compose to that end, then ministry is taking place. So allow me to introduce to you today, Lieutenant Aaron Weichel.
You're listening to the Do Gooders Podcast, a show from the Salvation Army's Caring Magazine, where we firmly believe that good starts with you. We get it. Life is busy, and we know you want to do good, but squeezing another thing into the to-do list is hard. Idea organizer, truth seeker, and good infuser Kristen Thiem will introduce you to people just like you who are doing good right where they are, so you can be inspired to make your world a better, brighter place. Listen in on honest conversations for actions you can take to do good today. Here's your host, Caring Magazine editor, Kristen Thiem.
Caring Magazine is a publication of the Salvation Army, dedicated to helping you do good right where you are. Stay informed and join in. Head to caringmagazine.org and sign up for the free weekly Do Good Digest email newsletter. That's caringmagazine.org.
Lieutenant Aaron, thank you so much for being on the Do Gooders podcast today and welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me today. I appreciate that.
So I was wondering if we could start with a little bit about why you are a follower of Jesus.
I kind of had to give this question a little bit of thought because it can be easy to give a response, a quick response. But, you know, I really think I'm a follower of Jesus because I can't imagine doing life without him. I've tried a lot of other things to get me through. But, you know, I think recognizing we all need save from something, and half of the time it's that we need save from ourselves, has made me realize that the world has to offer doesn't always cut it. So, you know, I'm really grateful that I was raised in a Christian home and a Christian family who cared deeply for me. But as it tends to go, sometimes you get misguided, and I definitely got misguided in my teen and young adult life, and just saw really clearly how separation from God and his, you know, his goodness just really led to my own devastation. So when I really began to like look at what it meant to live a life that was devoted to Christ and to be in his word, reading the Bible, spending time in a prayer, I saw that life with him was just so much better, and everything else I was trying wasn't really working for me. So again, I can't imagine life without him, because he's really allowed me the freedom that I think all of us need. So that's why I follow him. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. So then as an extension to that, we hear often about living missionally. Can you help explain a little bit about what it means to live missionally?
Sure. For me, living missionally is about being super intentional about my actions, my interactions with the world around me, and keeping God's kingdom and his purposes in mind. So it means that my choices aren't, you know, to just to satisfy myself. It's drawing interest on, you know, what is the world in need of? And if I'm saying I'm following Christ, like how am I extending that sense of hopefulness to others? Are they seeing that I'm living differently? And I think living missionally has meant my life is really ordered around God's priorities and not my own. And I think that's hard in this time, in this day and age, because so much of what we see around us in the world is self-centeredness and this desire to kind of do what is best for you. And sometimes that doesn't jive with God's kingdom, you know? It's about how can I extend myself to somebody who's in need? How can I express God's kingdom in a realistic way to someone who needs to know his love and his hope? And so to do that means a priority around doing justice and being about loving God and loving others and really showing that in real life, in real time. So for me, living missionally, it's really bottom line is how do I stay intentional about seeing Christ to the world around me and not just being so absorbed with myself.
And you do that every day as a Salvation Army officer or pastor. What led you to a life of full-time ministry?
You know, it's funny. Since I was a really little girl, I had crazy idea that I wanted to be a missionary to Japan. And I don't know where that idea came from. I just remember I drew up all of these plans and had all of these ideas about doing this one day. And, you know, my parents are Salvation Army officers, pastors who are retired now after 40 years of service. And I got to watch them throughout my entire life, just watching how they would serve so faithfully and so hard, you know, to really meet the needs of the community in Jesus's name. And I thought, someday I'm going to do that. But I had this idea that I was going to do it as a missionary to Japan. Well, I never ended up going to Japan, but I've served alongside the Salvation Army in a lot of different contexts and in several different countries. And I've just seen God at work throughout many parts of the world. And so, you know, fast forward 30 or so years to where I am now. And I don't believe it's a family heritage or legacy that I'm living into. And I don't even think it's like this determination that brought me to full-time ministry, but really burden to bring hope and healing to those in need, because I grew up seeing that, you know, it was part of my world. And when I realized my own need for a savior in a profound way, and when I encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit's power for the first time, I thought, you know, this is something that others need to know and to experience. So I really count it a privilege, I guess, to be able to share that with other people. And I thought, this is something I want to do all the time. And this is what I want my life to be ordered around and to be about. So that's sort of the rundown of the whole history of how I got to full-time ministry today.
I love it. And maybe you will end up in Japan one day. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I don't speak Japanese, but yeah.
So what does your ministry look like today? You're stationed in Santa Monica. Can you tell us more?
Yeah. So my husband, Chris, and I are beginning our third year here in Santa Monica, and we're sharing leadership here at the core. And, you know, at first glance, full-time ministry is super messy, and it's super messy here in Santa Monica. As you know, the problem of homelessness is just increasing here in LA County. And so our focus has been largely on the problem of homelessness here in Santa Monica and Venice, and also on those who are in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. We have the privilege of partnering with some really great leaders at the Santa Monica Adult Rehabilitation Center, working with the men who are going through their 6-month recovery program, and then partnering with them to keep on their journey to sobriety by staying connected in with the Christian community here at the core. So we, you know, what I mean by it gets messy is just that we see, you know, we see depravity every day. We see the effects of behavioral health issues every day and mental health issues every day. We see the effects of drugs and alcohol on men and on women who just really can't get out of the cycle of addiction. So we're fortunate to work with those who are marginalized, but it's draining and it's difficult. But when we are able to share hope with individuals and begin to see life actually get turned around, it's just one of the most amazing things to witness, I think, as a Salvation Army leader. And I'm grateful for that. It's kind of the highlight of what we do here in Santa Monica. It's not everything, but it is largely our focus.
And you also lead a worship service every Sunday. So one of the things that you regularly do is lead people in worship, but it's also something that I know you enjoy. So what do you like about leading people in worship, and what is it like to lead people in worship?
Yeah, for sure. I was sort of thinking about my journey as a worship leader and a musician. And, you know, my entry point with that was when I was super little. I was 6 years old, and remember my dad had me singing on the worship team when we were in Fort Collins, Colorado, at our little church there. And as I grew, I really began to understand the beauty and the importance of worship and how it kind of tied into our faith in a powerful way. And so I think for me, leading worship now, it's one of the most amazing and beautiful things to witness other people experiencing freedom. And that freedom, you know, it comes often when they're being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, if you would. It's watching him sort of begin to enter into the worship process with someone who's just giving their all to him. So any time I can be a part of facilitating that by creating, you know, an environment that's open, by selecting and choosing songs that allow someone to express back to God their gratitude or their need for Him. Like, it's just a powerful thing to see. So, you know, anytime I can take it, I'm willing to try to teach people how to worship, because I think that we don't have that posture all the time as Christians of giving ourselves to Him in abandon and in freedom and without, you know, without pretense or an expectation, just saying, Lord, here I am. This is what I want to express back to you in honor of you and in glory to you. Mm-hmm. And when I can be a part of that, like, it's just, again, it's a privilege and something I enjoy.
Absolutely. So what draws you to music? And I guess as an extension to that, what music are you inspired by?
Lately, I think I've been inspired by anyone who's more of like a singer-songwriter type and is willing to push the envelope musically and sonically. What I mean by that is I have a deep appreciation for musicians who are willing to be wholly who they are as artists without really feeling the pressure to just do mainstream music. So I've been listening to a lot of singer-songwriters, whether it's Christian music or not, but people who are really breathing out poetic language and trying different things musically. What draws me to music? Oh, just so much. You know, sometimes it's literally the lyrics and the way someone's kind of put poetry to music. Sometimes it's the music itself and just hearing different combinations of chords or melody lines that I'm like, oh, that's really great. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but just something kind of resonates within me. And I'll literally have it on repeat for forever, kind of listening. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, do-gooder, your voice, your story matters. Want to know more? Get the free Find Your Story email course at caringmagazine.org. That's caringmagazine.org to find your story today.
So what would you say is your favorite piece of music, either right now or of all time, and why?
This is a hard question. This is definitely difficult because there's just so much music that I love and so many varieties of pieces. But one of my favorite pieces is actually a classical piano piece. It's not even, there's no words, it's not a worship song. And it's by Claude Debussy. And it's called Arabesque Number 1. It's in E major. And the reason why this is my favorite is because my mom and dad forced me to take piano lessons for 15 years. And so I have a deep love for classical music. And it was kind of a hard love, but it's, you know, classical music is so evocative of deep emotion. And I find that it resonates with me as someone who tends to think deeply and has deep emotion. And it's challenging. So to learn that piece was difficult. Like, I had to put a lot of time and effort into learning it. And it was hard for me. But I think for sure, mad props to the classical arrangers of their day. They're just so skilled, so beautiful.
We'll have to hear that one sometime then from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So more than just enjoying music, you also recently released a new single titled Wait For You Here, which you wrote. Can you share more about the song?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote Wait For You Here out of a season where, if I'm really honest, I had grown distracted and really distant from the Lord for various reasons. And I was struggling in my marriage and struggling and overwhelmed with ministry at times. And I was just really very desperate to figure it all out. The song itself is really about the determination we often have to have as Christians to not grow weary in waiting on the Lord. And to remember that we have power available to us through His resurrection. There's a part of the song that talks about looking for Jesus on the empty cross and in an empty tomb and realizing that He's not there, right? Because he came to life 3 days later, like God's power in Him resurrected and brought Him to life. And so it's a reminder to not be looking after a God who's dead, right? Let Jesus is alive and His power is available to us. So it's kind of a call to remember that, but also a reminder to not grow weary in the waiting, even when we're not experiencing kind of the emotional connections to our faith in the ways that we're often looking for. Mm-hmm. And so it means a lot to me, very personal, but I think it's also a song of hope and healing for me too. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been that for me.
So even though it's a personal song, what would you want someone who's listening to it to experience?
You know, anything that I've written for myself, I want it to mean something to someone as well. So I think anyone who's listening, I would want them to resonate with the human experience as it's being encountered by our God, that I want them to be reminded that they're not alone, you know, that no matter what they're experiencing or going through, if it's vastly different than what I've experienced, that they can find hope in Christ and garner strength and encouragement from remembering that God is with them. And, you know, if it can't mean something to someone else, if it doesn't kind of hit them on that level too, then I feel like I might have missed the mark. So my hope is always that what I've written might be able to be of support and encouragement to someone else too.
I love it. So can you take us a little bit backstage, if you will, on how you go about writing a song? I mean, walk us through your creative process and how you even went about this.
Sure. You know, it's a little different all the time, but I just love to sit at the piano or start off with a pen and a notebook that I have all my songs written in and just start playing. And there's really just something very, very therapeutic about just that process of exploration. But, you know, sometimes I'll begin looking for a new combination of chords to play with on the piano. And if I find something I'll be quick to jot that down. But then I consider, you know, what lyric choices may work well with that music. Other times it's the complete opposite. So it could be that the Lord is giving me words before he even said music or melody in my mind. It could be that I have time looking at a particular scripture verse, or I've been meditating on a certain passage of scripture, and I will then try to articulate that basically back through a melody. That's kind of my general process. But with Wait For You Here, again, I was just so desperate to articulate my heart to the Lord that this is one of those songs where the lyrics really just flowed. So I kind of felt like he was in that process for me, just making it very easy for me to write the words to that song. But, you know, it's just a little different every time. Sometimes it's harder because I want to write a song, but I don't know what I want to write it about. But this time it was, again, out of that desperation to connect with him and to just kind of pour my heart out that song came together.
How would you describe your sound as a singer-songwriter?
Everybody hates this question. This is a hard one. It's hard because I don't like comparing myself to other people, but I think that sound is probably a little close to artists like Brooke Fraser or Audrey Assad. If you haven't heard them, definitely look them up. There's some soulful stuff going on in my sound, but I really do consider myself mostly a singer-songwriter type. So there's some unique quality there, but you know, every artist says that they're unique. Yeah.
And you've been involved in music, sounds like, pretty much all your life. What started you on the path to songwriting?
Well, this is a good one. This is no joke. I really began writing songs when I was a student at Seattle Pacific University doing my undergrad. And I remember one of my first, what I'd consider good songs, was written during one of my theology classes. So I had this tendency to get a little lost in my thoughts, even when I was in class. And, you know, I would start scribbling down melody lines and lyrics just kind of all over my theology notes. So that's really when the process began for me. And I just kind of took off from there. Some songs were good, some weren't so great, but I remember it being during college. Yeah.
And you said you have a notebook of songs that you've written. So how or when or why? Explain to us how your creative ideas come to you.
Yeah. And, you know, they come all the time. It's, you know, sometimes, like I mentioned, it's inspiration because I'm going through something, you know, it's a life circumstance or a friend or my spouse is experiencing something and I'm trying to encourage them back. You know, God brings out that kind of sense and that need to articulate words back to him through song. But other times it literally is just, it's just hard work. It's plain work. And I try to challenge myself to sit down and to write differently, to even get outside of what feels familiar with me musically, because we all have a different, you know, a different sound or a different way we approach music. But sometimes I sit down and say, okay, you're going to write something really different this time. Other times I'll hear a new album or a song on iTunes and really just fall in love with it. So then sometimes it's someone else's work that's motivating me to maybe emulate their style or to challenge me to try something different stylistically. So really, the creative process is unique and it can occur at any moment, really.
It sounds like it's really an effort to communicate through music and even a way for you, like you said, your own therapy through music. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that drives you to write music or to share music with others?
Yeah, I mean, writing music is my creative outlet. You know, people might say that painting or doing art do that. I've got friends who are beautiful artists in that way. For me, I can't draw, I can't paint or anything like that. But writing music is an outlet for my creativity and my passion. Singing and piano just really bring about such joy in my heart. And I absolutely love being able to do both of those things. So I'm grateful for those 15 years of piano lessons that I was to do, because it really just opened wide kind of like a possibility for me to then take it a step further and see, you know, how can I be creative with the skill that I have and do it for God's glory and for the benefit of others. Yeah.
And then how does that all come full circle? How would you say your writing and singing songs connects to your ministry?
Yeah, I think it completely connects. You know, writing a song is, like I mentioned, always so deeply personal. It's not a trivial thing. And so sharing it with others takes tremendous vulnerability. And the feeling of sharing your song with someone for the first time, even if it's just one-on-one, like there's such vulnerability attached to that. There's always a sense, though, of satisfaction, I think, when I've written a song that means something to me. But again, with that secondary thing of it meaning something to someone else happening, like that's the moment when I realize, like, impacting someone's life, like, or I've received a note from someone saying, hey, thank you for this song that you wrote. Like, it's been important to me during this season of my life. So I don't always hear or see the result of, say, how my song has had an impact on someone's life. But when I do, I know that God is using it, like he's receiving the glory for it. And that's honestly, that is really all it's about, is that he would be honored in it and that others would find encouragement from it. Mm-hmm. And it's really humbling. It's extremely humbling. Yeah.
Well, I have downloaded your song, so I can definitely recommend it to others. Can you tell us where we can find it and how we can further connect with you online?
Yeah, absolutely. All of my music can be found anywhere you can buy or stream music online. So Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, anywhere you can get it from there. And then I just wanted to let everyone know too that the proceeds from the sales of Wait For You Here and my newest song, which will be coming out in November, is called Higher Than I. All of that benefits the work of the Salvation Army in Southern California. So you can look for it there on iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon Music. And you can connect with me online on Instagram, The Key of E, or on Facebook and YouTube under my name, Erin Weichel.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing more about your passion for creativity and the ministry that you do.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Until next week, keep on doing good, and we will talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Find the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at caringmagazine.org/podcast. And if you love the show, would you share it with a friend? We'll see you next time, Do Gooder.